You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Inexplicably, we're already in hour number three for the day. And by the way, a minute ago before the break, I was talking about, hey, going to come right back and finish up some more cultural rot, which I probably will later.
But not right now.
But not right now, because this is the time when we would have been doing Boomer McQueen, but it's going to be a little bit different because McQueen got waylaid by a dentist, and we are now dealing with Lee from Huntsville. How you doing?
I'm great.
Well, we're glad. Thank you for jumping in there and being a team player and helping us keep the segment going.
Always. Love McQueen. I'm happy to jump in.
Well, we're proud for you. So, all right, that means that it's time not for Boomer McQueen. It's time for Boomer and Lee. Hit it. All right, the whoop-whoops have sounded. You know the deal. I asked the questions for a while, and later on y'all flipped the script and asked me questions. But here's my first question. We had Elizabeth Stewart on a little while ago, and I know you know her, Lee, but we had Elizabeth Stewart on. We talked about libraries. So libraries continue to be like a battleground, right? Crazy a bit, but it's true. So in your opinion, and I'm asking both of you, and I'll go with Lee first. Is it, in your opinion, would you rather see all of the sexual content books just taken out of the library, period, or are you content to at least have them just move to a different section? What your thoughts on that first?
Well, okay, this is a tough call because it's hard to define what you think is pornographic, right? I mean, even the Supreme Court had a very difficult time defining it. I think one of the justices put it best when he said that you may not define it, but you know it when you see it, right?
Right.
And although I think there was a definition, if it held no artistic, literary, there's some like different definitions in one of the court cases, and I think that I think that these things should be determined individually. I do think that anything with explicit drawings, like visuals, I would have a problem with. Mm. Just like we don't have Playboys in the library because we don't need to provide that.
Right.
I think that something explicit like that should be a big no-no. I think anything that is you just have to be careful, though, because there are great works of literary significance that have all kinds of horrible things in them. It doesn't mean that they're not significant or they don't have value. They're definitely not for children. So I would say this has to be a very an author by author sort of exploration, and it needs to we need to have it set up to where it can immediately be referred to some sort of panel. I don't think you leave one person, and you definitely that one person doesn't need to be the librarian. Someone who's part of an extremely liberal organization. So if you were going to have it, it should be a committee. I get, of course, library employees should be on that committee, but also so should other people, parents, you know, people like that. And then these should be constantly reviewed.
Okay.
And move to the, you know, that's my best guess, because if you just say no, nothing, then, of this type of thing, you know, adults can read things and that's fine, but definitely it got to come out of the children's section, 100%.
Okay. All right. Fair answer. Boomer, what say you? Take it out of the library altogether or just at least move it to a different section? What are your thoughts?
Well, I like what Lee just said, but where I'm going to go is just a different direction. Why do we keep having these same conversations about the stupid stuff? Like, why are they trying to push stuff on our kids? Period. Get it out of the kids section. I don't want to see it. If there has to be a committee to do that, by golly, get a committee. If there has to be somebody, just get it out of the kids section. How hard is that? Stop trying to manipulate our kids by letting them read whatever they want and trying to push your own dang agendas on us and on our kids. So stop.
No more caffeine for Boomer. No more caffeine for Boomer whatsoever.
That's
no,
what I have to say about it.
No, that's...
It hasn't... Like, it's not stopping. They're just continually to push. And these libraries are now continuing to start putting this stuff in the libraries, in the kids' sections, when then they come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, your conservative book can't be in our section, so we're not going to allow your conservative book to be here, but we will allow, that book right there, that has a lot of nice pictures. Let's put that in the kids' section. No.
Okay. I think we know where Boomer stands. I think you guys both nailed it. I mean, there's going to be times when a book may have some questionable content, but an adult has a discerning ability to screen out or to not read. But where I have a problem, and I think you guys nailed it, is when A, like Boomer said, they continue to believe that there's an agenda they have to portray and put it in the kids section, and they don't even bother consulting anyone. They just slip it in there. And then later on they get so bold with it, they put up displays. But at the same time, you're having the public arena, libraries can't put up manger scenes and things like that, but they can have a Gay Pride Month display with, mommy, Sally has two mommies or whatever.
I got something else.
Okay. Hang on,
Lee.
And Lee,
jump
going
in on this, right, what I'm about to say. All right, these people that are trying to push these books into these libraries, the librarians or the people above that need these books in the children's section, do they take them home and read them to their kids at night?
Probably.
I mean, like, what are they thinking? Like, okay, but there's what I'm about to say is, you can do that if that's your kids. If that is what you want to portray to your kids, I completely disagree, but that's your kids.
But I will say this, as an attorney.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, as an attorney, I'll just tell you, some of the books that we hear about the content, the actual graphic, here's how you do it kind of content with pictures and everything, I look at that and go, actually, you shouldn't be reading it to your kids.
Not that.
Yeah, and if you're doing that, then I have to question not only your morals, but your fitness as a parent at that point. And you may look at DHR getting involved.
Well, then, okay. That's a whole other conversation.
Go ahead, Lee.
Especially explicit descriptions of things that are illegal, like adult child sex acts and stuff like that. Like, I don't see any useful literary need for that in a library, period. And
there's no adult need for that in the library.
No, that's what I'm saying, in the library, period. But this is also about the removal of innocence from children.
Yeah.
People who have, I think true leftist Marxists are demonically led, and that's going to lead you to desire the removal of innocence from children. They desire that. Like, it's their goal.
Wow, that's so artfully said. All right. Well, hey, listen. I'm gonna move to the next question.
Calm down.
Because I gotta keep Boomer in his chair for about 45 more minutes. all right. So, totally different question. Totally different track. All right. Let's talk politics for a minute. We got about 4 minutes for the break. So, like right now, Lee, for your benefit, where Boomer and I live is about to be. It's not yet, but it's about to be moved from the 4th congressional district to the 3rd. And that's Congressman Mike Rogers. So Mike Rogers is going to be the congressman very likely from this district where we are now. He just yesterday got a Donald Trump endorsement. Now, not too long ago, Mike Rogers was raising a lot of eyebrows, talking about partnering with Dems and stuff like that to deal with the whole Kevin McCarthy issue. But then he gets a Donald Trump endorsement. So here's my question for you. Does Donald Trump's endorsement mean anything to you individually? Does it change things for you? Like, if you were to see two candidates and one of them got Trump's endorsement, does that change things for you? You first, Boom.
No.
Okay.
The reason for me is ever since I was able to vote, endorsements really don't mean anything to me because I want to vote for who I want to vote for. I don't care who this person is. Like, hey, this person's great. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't get in my head. That's just me personally.
Okay.
Maybe some people are others, but I mean, not me.
So you're impervious to the endorsement.
Yep. Don't care about the endorsements.
Lee, what are you thinking? Donald Trump's endorsement, does it change things for you?
No, not particularly. I'm going to do a dive on the candidates, and I'm going to vote for who I feel has the you know, closest fit to my biblical worldview. That's pretty much how I run the show on my voting.
Yeah.
So, no, not really. I mean, although Mike Rogers just needs to get a better haircut. It's terrible. It's Lego hair, and he needs to get a haircut. Stop it.
Okay. Well,
he needs a better haircut.
Maybe that's why Trump endorsed him. Who knows? I mean, but
I mean, I thought about that. Do they have the same barber? I don't know.
Wow.
Lee taking it down a road we didn't expect. All right, listen, I'll tell you what, it's a great place for going to a break. We'll take the break. That's round one of Boomer and Lee, and we'll come right back, and this is where we flip the script over. They get to ask me a question, and I sit in fear and trembling waiting to see what it'll be. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. We're coming back for round number two. Today it's called Boomer and Lee. Give me some whoop-whoops, man. Hit me some whoop-whoops. Yeah. Put me in the mood for round number two. This is where they ask me a question just off the cuff. And so, Lee, we're letting you go first. What do you got for me?
Okay. For many people, Jewish and otherwise, it might come as a surprise how the Democrat Party in general, and especially activists, Democrat, left-wing, Antifa, et cetera, on college campuses and elsewhere, are coming out so forcefully, loudly, violently for this Free Palestine movement, which is just basically supporting Hamas. So I think that, I mean, although if you've paid any attention over the last 5 years, you could see this coming like a freight train.
Yeah.
With the popularity of the Squad and so many of those members being openly anti-Semitic, unapologetically anti-Semitic. My question for you is, I personally think that as Christians, it is our duty and obligation to stand up for Israel and for the Jewish people as Christians, because the Bible says we have to. And I think that we should be standing up. We should be marching, counter-protesting, and shaming these people for what they're saying and doing, you know, frightening Jewish students. There's no place in America for that. My question to you is, do you feel that way? Do you feel like it's a Christian obligation, and what do you think we should be doing?
I love how you lay the entire foundation and then dare me to change the answer.
That's how I roll.
I completely agree. So first of all, yes. I mean, I see it on a variety of levels. As a Christian, I do not want to be on the wrong side of the fight with God's chosen people. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I see that as a scriptural thing. I see it as a spiritual thing. I see it as something that is not necessarily necessary to my salvation, but I think it certainly intertwines itself with my faith-based, worldview. So, yes, I agree with you from that respect. I also see it from a couple of other views. I mean, I could be secular in my beliefs and still believe that, number one, Israel has always been our actual ally in the Middle East. We were the first nation to ever recognize them. In fact, Alabama was the first state in the first nation to recognize the new nation of Israel in 1948. I look at it from a geopolitical standpoint that I think we need to be on the right side of that fight. And then I look at it just from a common sense standpoint. You've got, all right, Hamas comes into a music festival, to old people's homes, to baby nurseries, and just wantonly slaughters unarmed. There's zero combatants here. They're just wantonly slaughtering people. I watched a video this morning of some Hamas thugs giving themselves like high fives on the street right after they had just done an RPG into a passing car. And all it was a car. And there's no fight there. There's nothing to be proud of. So I look at that and go, y'all are thugs. You deserve to be stamped out like a roach. So I see it from a variety of standpoints. But yes, my faith automatically guides me towards that. And did I answer your question? I think I did.
Well, what should we do? Should we be protesting out there on the streets as well, counter-protesting?
There's no reason why we can't. You can protest anything, right. Freedom of speech in this country. I mean, technically, I'm on the microphone every day adding my voice to the overall. And I know you just did a moment ago by asking me that question. So it doesn't mean you have to. But what I'm saying is this. I won't sit idly by and let somebody try to, slander Israel as being the reason why the murders took place. I'm gonna counter that every time I get a chance. But at the same time, there's a First Amendment right for someone to be wrong. You have a First Amendment right to be wrong. What you don't have a First Amendment right to do is call for the death of someone and incite violence. And, right. You know, as much as we heard the liberals scream about what they believe was an insurrection on January 6th, you'd think they would recognize that when someone is marching through the streets of a college campus calling for intifada, well, take a look at what that really means. You just set every Jewish student on edge and said, we're calling for your death. We're calling for an armed conflict. And that shouldn't be allowed.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Dang. How's that?
That was good.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
you got a question for me?
Yeah.
Is yours going to be as heavy as that one?
Nah.
All right. What you got?
I don't think so. Okay. Can we go back to what we were talking right before this segment, about the Target stuff?
All right.
My question to you is, I know they're trying to reverse the roles and say that there were, conservative extremists causing terror for his employees and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like
it,
bunch of bull is what that is. But yeah. I know they're just trying to get their sales back up again. But are the conservative people like us, are we going to continue? Or what are your thoughts on, are they going to continue to stand firm and say, hey, listen, until you figure this out, we're not going to do this, or are they going to back off eventually?
Oh, you mean are we going to shop at Target
yeah.
again?
I'm not just talking about Target. I'm talking about all the other stuff. How long?
I think two things. Let's keep it at Target for a minute, just to give me a narrow target to shoot at. But first of all, I will say this: American culture is very forgiving.
Yeah.
All right. You can be wrong today and then sort of, apologize, even half apologize, and then correct the things that were wrong, and we'll come back eventually. I mean, I would bet that one day Bud Light will come back.
Right.
I don't know, but maybe. And I would bet that one day Target's going to regain some ground, and they're going to wind up having to probably go through a leadership change and a cultural internal change in their boardroom. And if they don't, I suspect that Christians and conservatives who have other choices and can now shop online if they want to will begin to, continue to look elsewhere.
Will these companies keep pushing this stuff?
Some will because mm-hmm. they don't yeah. learn their lessons.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I think some will because they don't learn their lessons. I think some will because they believe that's their necessity. They're so stuck in the ESG mindset, they think it's their job to try and, change culture and not just sell stuff. So, anyway, there's that.
There's that.
Did I get
awesome.
It?
Yep. There we go.
Either one of y'all have a stupid story of the week. John from Huntsville loves it when we get that part. But
Lee?
I do want everybody to look it up, though. There was, and I saw this on LinkedIn, and I know it's been making the rounds of, they say it's Gavin Newsom. I can't tell. Falling down the stairs, and they're talking about how perfect he would make as a president. And if y'all haven't seen that, I belly laugh hard. You need to look it up.
Oh, thank you,
that's
Lee.
Awesome.
We appreciate
Thanks,
you
Lee.
Jumping in, Lee. Thank you so much. Wow, Lee from Huntsville jumping in, making it the Boomer and Lee segment. Look, we're going to come right back, and I am going to finish up some more of this cultural rot, but I'm going to end it on a high note, so don't think we're going to go out with just a bunch of rot. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.